The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
I've learned that this thing is not about my purpose. I have learned and absolutely will believe till I go to my grave one day that God has allowed me and my family to walk through things that we would have never chosen to walk through, so that I could comfort with the same comfort that God gave us in our darkest, darkest nights.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
I want you to look with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and notice this title, the God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. There is so much in that, those two verses. God comforts us in our tribulation. He comes to us in our lowest, darkest days. Gives His precious peace, His comfort, His help, His hope. And then He says, I did it. And now all I ask of you is that you turn around and take the comfort that I gave you in your darkest hour, and you reach out to somebody else's darkest hour, and in your situation and out of your pain and your wounds, comfort others and let them know they can make it. I'm preaching today on wounds that glow in the dark. Wounds that glow in the dark. In the book of Job, we are seeing a beautiful Old Testament story that illustrates this text. If anyone was ever comforted by God, it was Job. If anybody ever went through severe trials, it was Job. Job was a remarkable man who did not know what was going on. There was a contest, a conclave, a gathering in heaven between angels and Lucifer came. The Bible said he came from walking the earth, going to and fro, up and down. And God allowed him access, and he said, where have you been? He said, I've been walking in the earth, going around, checking out different people. And God's the one who brought Job up. God said, have you considered my servant Job? Have you noticed him? How that, listen to the words, he fears God, and he loves me, and he holds fast to his integrity, almost rubbing it in to the fallen angel named Lucifer. It's almost like he's saying he holds fast to his integrity, unlike some angels I know. He didn't say that, but you know you would feel that if you were standing in the presence of the God you betrayed. And he says, he's amazing. Do you know him? Have you noticed him? And he said, oh yeah, he serves you like all those Christians as long as you bless him. If things go wrong, he'll curse you. You let me at him. You let me get my pound of flesh from him. You let me attack him. You've got a hedge around him, and I can take him down, and he'll curse you. And God said, you can attack everything that he's got, only don't touch his body. And the first scene ends, and Satan goes and attacks immediately everything that Job possessed. The Bible said he was the richest man in the East. The Bible said that he had 7,000 sheep, and he had 3,000 camels and 500 oxen and 500 donkeys, and he had 7 beautiful, handsome sons and 3 beautiful daughters, and he was so blessed. And in one day, the armies attacked and stole all of his animals and killed and slew all of his animals and all of his servants along with it. Every employee that he had was killed. The businesses were burned down. He lost it all. And right on the heels of that comes another servant saying, "Job, your beautiful family, those 7 handsome sons and those 3 beautiful daughters, they're dead." And in that moment, Job, broken, devastated, tears his garment, falls to the ground, weeping. And he says these powerful words: "The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in that moment, I could see just the scene break. And Lucifer says, "You let me do one more thing. You let me attack his body, and he'll curse you. He'll curse you to your face." And God said, "Go ahead." Job is not aware of this. Job does not know what's going on. God gives no explanation to him. And after a day like that, you would think that would be enough for anybody. But the next day, boils break out on Job from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. The scripture said, agonizing, tormenting, infection all in his body. And his wife, who is grieving for 10 children being dead the day before, says, "Job, just curse God and die. We're finished. We've lost everything." Do you know that the Bible said in the book of Job 42 that he lived 140 years after his trial? And what's interesting about his story is he didn't write that book or didn't have that book written and tell his whole story in the middle of his trial. He waited 3 years before he wrote the book. And he had someone write it for him. He told his story. Don't write your story in the middle of your story. Don't think because you're hurting right now and you don't understand right now and it makes no sense and you feel God forsaken. Job was right where you are right now, and you're asking why, and the pain is real and you are numb from it and you are broken from it. But don't write your story till you get to the end of the story. And if you're in the middle of it, it looks dark. But Job got to looking back 3 years later, and he said, "I'm going to tell my story now, because I can truly say," and the Bible said, "The Lord blessed Job double." He went to 14,000 sheep, and he went to 6,000 camels, and he went to 1,000 oxen and 1,000 ox and 1,000 donkeys, and he went to 7 more sons and 3 daughters that were the most beautiful in the land, the scripture said, because he had 7 in heaven and sons and 3 daughters in heaven. So God doubled that by giving him 7 on earth and 3. I want to tell you about something, and you may ask, "Well, why are you talking about wounds that glow in the dark?" Because in Tennessee, the state of Tennessee in 1862, one of the greatest battles of the Civil War took place in a place that was called the Battle of Shiloh. It was there that the Confederate General Johnson led a surprise attack against the Union General Ulysses S. Grant. 110,000 men begin to fight each other. It's what history records as the angel glow. That when they looked out on the field, there were certain soldiers who looked down on their wounds, and their wounds began to glow mysteriously. And what it was is amazing. Bacteria that can make insects sick has been responsible. They didn't know this for 140 years until 2001, when a high school senior heard this story. His mother was a biologist, and they begin to research it, and they made a phenomenal historic discovery, and here it is. There were worms that came up in the mud and the rain, and they would regurgitate something in their stomach that would get in the wounds. And I'm making this really simple. You should study it for yourself. It's amazing. And it would get in the wounds, and it actually would begin to attack infection. That's why it was on the wounds. It took those worms crawling in and regurgitating what was in them that began to become an antibiotic. This is all proven. It became an antibiotic, and they found out that there were the non-glowing men, their counterparts were dying and could not be helped. The glowing men had a lower rate of infection, and their injuries healed faster. No explanation. The doctor soon discovered that most of those men would survive because of the glow, the wounds that glowed. That bacteria from those worms fought infection and became an antibiotic. Job had wounds that glowed in the dark. It was the Apostle Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, who was standing holding the coats, according to the book of Acts chapter 6. And all of a sudden, as they were stoning Stephen, the Bible said that his face began to shine like an angel. He had that glow. And the scripture said in the next chapter that they came on him and they began to stone him, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him and witnessed him. And they laid down their coats at the feet of the young man named Saul. That's Saul of Tarsus, who would become the Apostle Paul. And as they stoned Stephen, as he was calling on God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit," he knelt down and he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with my sin." Notice, there it is. You can ask why. He could have stood there and said, "Why, God? Why? I just stood for what was right and they're stoning me. Why?" But he moved from his why to forgiveness. And he fell asleep. But the glow that he had touched an atheist heart by the name of the Apostle Paul. He was a radical Jewish theologian that was wanting to kill all the Christians who didn't believe like he wanted them to believe. And that glow touched him. And he was converted the next chapter on a street called Straight, because God wanted to straighten him out. And he wrote half the New Testament. And he said, "I'm willing to spend and be spent. I'm willing that if God needs me to go through something so that I can comfort somebody else, don't waste what you've gone through. And don't lay in it and ask the rest of your life why. If God lets you walk through it, it's because he's still God and he has a plan. And it may be like Job, for generation after generation. You don't know what God is doing generations down the road for your family. If you stand and trust God, no matter what's going on in your life." What about Paul? The wounds healed other people. What about Job? The wounds healed the other people. Can I tell you about another one? One more? You know who else did it? His name was Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. "For to this you were called," because you want to know what you were called for? You were called for this. I don't know what people think Christianity is. It's not just as long as God blesses you, serve him, and be happy. Christianity says you're supposed to glow when you're in when you're in suffering. You're supposed, when you're wounded, that's when you're supposed to be glowing. And for this cause you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. And when he was reviled, nor did he revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. He didn't throw a fit, curse God, but he committed himself to him, the Father, who judges righteously. Here it is. Here's the wounds that glow in the dark. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Don't get twisted. Don't get bitter. Don't get angry. Somewhere, sometime, somehow, you will be able to help somebody else with the glow of the wounds. God will allow you to have the angel glow. And the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them. When you go through things that you don't understand, heartbreaking situations, I'm telling you what I've learned. I'm 61 years old now. I've learned that this thing is not about my purpose. I have learned and absolutely will believe till I go to my grave one day that God has allowed me and my family to walk through things that we would have never chosen to walk through, so that I could comfort with the same comfort that God gave us in our darkest, darkest nights, wounded, laying in the battlefield of Shiloh. Can I tell you what Shiloh is? A Bible term. Did you know that? It is a city, and it actually is identified with a verse concerning the coming Messiah, and it says, we will wait until Shiloh comes, and Shiloh means my peace comes. Boy, I don't know why I'm preaching like I'm preaching, but I feel this thing down in my bones, that there are families and there are people and there are men and there are women and there are even teenagers who have a why. And the Lord told me to tell you, don't die in your why. Forgive. And say, Lord, I'm not letting go of you. If it gets better, I'll praise you. If it doesn't get better, I'll be right here, knowing that you are working all things together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Whew. Raise your hands right where you're sitting at every campus. It represents your battlefield. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions about tomorrow. I don't need the words. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong, because I'm going to make it up. But in every situation, God gave me this consolation. My trials come to only make me strong. I want to sing this to some single people. I used to sing this when I was single. Been to lots of places, seen a lot of faces. This line would mess me up. But there have been times when I felt so all alone. You ever been there? Wondering, will I ever get out of this darkness? But in my lonely hours, in that apartment by yourself, He made them precious lonely hours. That's when He let me know I was His own. I love this last verse. So now at the end of my story, I can thank Him for the mountains. I can thank Him for the valleys. I can thank Him for those storms He brought me through. For if you're watching me by television right now and you want to kill yourself, now I need the words. But if I'd never had those problems, I'd never know my God can solve it. I'd never know what faith in His Word can do. Through it all, through it all, Lord, I feel Your presence. This is what America needs, the presence of the Lord. This is what our world needs, the presence of the Lord. He knows the path that you take. I have learned to trust in Jesus. I have learned I really can trust God when I'm completely out of control. Through it all, sometimes through the valley, through it all, sometimes through that storm, I learn to depend upon His Word.
Some of you need healing in your body. Some of you need a massive miracle in your family or in your finances and business and health. Well, I want you to know Jesus loves you. Pray this prayer with me right where you are. Say these words. Say, Jesus, I need You. I surrender to You. I give You my life. I mean it, Lord. You are Lord. I confess You, Jesus, as my Savior. Forgive me, cleanse me, and I want to follow You. I want to carry my cross spiritually and follow You in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, then just go online and just show us and tell us on the website what God has done. There's free resources, there's salvation devotional, we'll send you free. It's our joy to do that. And thank you so much for being a part of this telecast.
Charred by fire. These are the remains of homes, businesses, and farms in the Eshkol region of Israel. For many residents, the memory of that horrific day is too painful to face. Most are unable to return to the places they once called home. They can't bear the trauma, the charred remnants of their lives, the blood-soaked ground that holds memories of the darkest day they've ever known. But now there's hope. Jensen Franklin Media Ministries, along with our partners at the Jewish National Fund, are breaking ground on phase two of our multi-year three-phase initiative, Light Over Darkness, Rebuild and Restore. Phase two is all about giving these families the chance to return home, It's about restoring the spaces that were once filled with life and love, places now scarred by the trauma of war. Together, this effort will bring their lives back from the brink. Homes, businesses, and communities will be rebuilt. When you give now, our partner on the ground, the Jewish National Fund, has pledged to match every dollar donated. Your support is crucial to restoring life to these broken families. Your gift will have an immediate impact in the Holy Land. Call, scan, or go online to donate now.
Before I go, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to those of you who are supporting this ministry. Your gifts, your support allows us to take the gospel all over this world. And we are involved in so many amazing life-saving projects because of your generous giving. If you've watched us at any length of time, you know that our ministry absolutely stands with Israel. We stand for the nation of Israel, and we love the people of Israel. And with your help, we're going to do even more to bless the nation of Israel. We're praying for the safe, soon return of all the hostages. Keep praying, as we have already seen breakthroughs in Israel. Some of the hostages are returning home. This is the time to stand up and say to our Jewish brothers and sisters, we love you and we are here for you. We see you and never again, in Jesus' name. And I want you to pray about what God would have you do to help us with all of our projects around the world. Thank you. Together, we can do the impossible for the glory of God.
Welcome to Free Chapel, where everything we do is about inspiring people to live for Jesus. From our uplifting worship and encouraging messages, it all points to Him, and we'd love for you and your family to join in. Head over to our app or website to find out more.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Your prayers and financial support make these programs possible. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.